Praise God. I got to ask y'all something. Is it just me, or, well, let me state it this way. Y'all must be froze to death because I'm cool. Is it cold in here today or what? Is it just me? Wow, maybe, okay. This is a sign we're close to the coming of the Lord. I'm cold in church. Okay, that's great. As long as y'all are comfortable, I'm fine. I can take the cold. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, so good to be in God's house this morning. Feel His Holy Spirit, isn't it? There's nothing like being touched or being in the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to Psalm 37. And I want to begin reading at verse 23, and would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word. Psalm 37, beginning at verse 23. And I believe what the Lord has given me for today will be a blessing to all of us. Psalm 37, beginning at verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Praise God. I want to preach for a few moments this morning on the subject of your blessings coming through. Could we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, today we come to you in Jesus' name. And Lord, I feel an excitement and I feel an expectancy of what your Holy Spirit is about to do. And Lord, we humbly ask for your anointing to preach your word in a way that it would bring glory and honor first of all to you, Lord Jesus, and that will in turn make it a blessing to your people. Lord, use me today as your mouthpiece, I pray, Lord, to build up your people. Lord, use me to glorify your holy name today. Give me your mind, Lord. I cannot do what you've called me to do without your precious anointing. And Lord, let the Holy Spirit come and let him preach today. And Lord, we'll not fail to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory for whatever you do this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. My family and I, while on vacation this past summer, were privileged to visit Boston, Massachusetts. And I'd read a lot about Boston in history, but visiting the city really brought that history to life for me. We, at one point in time, took a cruise around the harbor there in Boston, which is a very historic harbor. It was in this harbor, of course, the famed Boston Tea Party took place, where the American colonists, due to the high taxes that were placed on the tea coming from Britain, cut the boxes, snuck onto the British ships by night and cut up the boxes of tea and tossed them into this harbor. And as we were cruising around the harbor and the guide pointing out the historic points along the harbor, he stopped at one place and told what I thought was a very interesting story. Many of you, I'm sure, are acquainted with the story of the great American patriot, Paul Revere. And his house still stands in the old part of Boston. We actually visited that also. But Paul Revere, when he was going to warn the colonists of the coming British invasion, had to, you know the story, set the lamps in the old North Church, which still stands today, just as it did in that time. But for him, once word came how the invasion was going to come, remember it was one light by land and two by sea, he was going to put in this historic old North Church there in Boston. But for him to get to where he needed to be, once the word came, he had to cross the harbor by night, and the British ships were already in the harbor. And a young man came up with an ingenious idea of creating a rudder on the back of the small boat that Paul Revere would need to cross right under the British ships with to where it wouldn't make any noise in the water. And that young man's name was John Paul Jones, also a great American patriot. But he had a great part that night in assisting Paul Revere due to this ingenious rudder that he had created on this small boat that he and John Paul Jones and Paul Revere had to row right under the British ships by night. And if they made a sound, the British ships would have heard them and would have known that something was up. There was some type of alert going out, for the British were expecting that. And this great young patriot, John Paul Jones, actually rowed the boat across Boston Harbor that carried Paul Revere to the horse that he eventually got on and rode once the lights were set in the North Tower. There's something about history that is very kind to people who take a righteous, defiant stand. You know, there's nothing wrong with being rebellious if it's for a righteous cause. And the founders of this nation, and one great patriot by the name of John Paul Jones, history bears out, he took a stand, a righteous stand, against overwhelming odds. This young man who rode Paul Revere across Boston Harbor would one day come to be the admiral of the fledgling American Navy. And it was his job near the heated battles of the American Revolution to defend this harbor, Boston Harbor. It's a key military strategic point, and was even in that day. And as one day he was fulfilling his mission as the captain of his ship, three superior British vessels appeared into the harbor. And the American Navy at that time was not very much. But John Paul Jones rallied his men and said, "Let us have freedom, or let us die in this battle." And he launched out against three superior British ships. Initially, his defiant stand against insurmountable odds seemed he was going to go down to defeat. He had fought valiantly, he and his men has, and had fended off the British ships, inflicting some damage on them. But during the course of the battle, these three ships almost had John Paul Jones' boat sink. And at one point in the battle, the lead British ship was very close to John Paul Jones' boat. And the British commander yelled over to him and said, "Sir, would you like to surrender your vessel?" It was common and courteous in those days. Even the warriors involved in the American Revolution, both the British and the Americans, had a great deal of respect for one another on the battlefield. And they would not have continued to sink John Paul Jones' boat had he told the general at that time, "We wish to surrender." John Paul Jones was a man who believed in God, though. He believed that God had placed him where he was as his destiny in life. And he was right. And he prayed. He prayed unto God as they were fighting for their lives and for the freedom and for what this nation is today. The cry came again from the British commander, "Sir, do you want to surrender your vessel?" John Paul Jones looked over at that British commander, who at this point in time was probably within about 50 yards of him. Took his sword out of his sheath, raised it in the air, and said, "Sir, I have not yet begun to fight." And in the course of the next 3 hours, through brilliant maritime maneuvers and precise cannons, he sank all three of those British ships. You got to love that. You got to love that. When somebody takes a stand for righteousness, and even it's all right to be rebellious if it's for a righteous cause. It's all right to be defiant if it's for a righteous cause. And I just might as well cut to the preaching this morning and quit trying to be fancy. Some of you this morning are in the battle of your lives. And the Lord is telling to you today, the battle is not over. The victory is yours already. When He sent you into the battle, He knew you were going to come out victorious on the other side. Because there is no defeat in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah to the Lamb. There is no defeat in Jesus Christ. Man, it's nice to fight a battle when you know you're going to win it, ain't it? That should give us confidence as we live this Christian life and experience that whatever is coming our way, I love the scripture. I know you do too. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. That means you've already got a superior force dwelling on the inside of you that can overcome anything this world or hell can throw at you. You are a child of Almighty God. You've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, who fought all principalities and powers and won the victory for us that day on the top of Calvary's hill. What a blessed assurance. What have we to fear? Hallelujah. Because we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. Some of you need to take a defiant stand today. Just like John Paul Jones did. You need to know whose you are and who you belong to and what this book tells you you can have. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, you got a victory sermon I'm preaching today. You got a victory sermon the Lord told me to preach to you today. Because He said some of my people are walking around feeling defeated. They're walking around feeling like they've been led to a place where there is no victory and they can't make it. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, the text we read this morning. I used to read that and I'd get real worried. I'd get real worried. Oh, I'd get so worried. You say, why? Because I wasn't a good man. I'm talking about after I was saved. I'm not talking about before. I was real bad then, but I knew I still had a lot of issues after I came to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'd read that and I'd think, oh, it'd be so good to be able to walk that way before the Lord, that He could bless me, that He could order my life. When it says the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, what the meaning of that is that the Lord is in charge of that life and where it's directed and where it goes, if you're a good man. Oh, I see some worried looks this morning. I know how you feel, but let me help you. This Bible says, there is none good. No, not one. That's speaking of all of us. Praise God. I know some of you catching it. I see some hands raised. You say, how could people be praising God over them not being good and them not meeting this standard? Because the glory of the matter is, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. There's been one good man. His name was Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that day you decided to put your faith in what He did for you at the cross. Oh, this is so good. This is so good. That day you decided to put your faith in what He did for you at the cross. God took you and put you in Him. And that makes you a good man or woman. Hallelujah. It's based on your faith. It's based on your faith. Not on our performance. Glory to God. And if your faith is in Christ, this is why it is so paramount, and I will never tire of preaching it to you, and you ought to never tire of hearing it. Keep your faith in what He did for you at the cross, because there is such a multitude of benefits that come with that, I don't have time to expound it to you. But one of them is, He makes you what you are not. This is what Romans is referring to. It's often misquoted and mistaught. When He says, Him who calls things that be not as though they are. That's not referring to, like the word of faith teachers tell you, you going out and confessing something that isn't there, like, oh God, I want a new Cadillac and I'm confessing it down right now, or I want a new home or more money or whatever it might be. That's not, even though you don't have those things, that's not what that scripture means, call things that be not as though they are. It means He calls that on the basis of faith alone. On the basis of faith alone, He calls that which is not good, good. He calls that which is not righteous, righteous. He calls that which is unholy, holy, on the basis of faith. My Lord, what the blood of Jesus does for us. What the blood of Jesus does for us. That's how you gain a standing with God. That's how you keep a standing with God. And it is absolutely glorious. What God does for man when man obeys Him. And it's not about following a bunch of laws, rules, and regulations. It's all about faith. We preached it last week. The just shall live by faith. Oh, my Lord, if we could just get that in our, how blessed we would be. But in your situation this morning, guess what? You qualify as that good person if your faith is in Christ and what He did for you at the cross. The steps of a good man. It means human being, man, woman. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Wow. Wow. Now let's go on to that next verse. Because here's where the Lord told me to hone in on today. Here's where some of you are struggling. Let's read it together. I believe it's verse 24. Yeah. This is the speaking of the good man now. Okay? I've got to press it a little bit harder before we go on. The Holy Spirit's checking me. You are good and you are righteous and you have holiness before God because of your faith in Christ and what He did for you at the cross. Not because of your performance. You might say, Pastor, you don't know what I've done this week. Let me tell you something. Oh, this is so good today. The Holy Ghost is preaching this message today. It may not be long on homiletic structure, but it's good in the Holy Ghost. If at the end of the day, I don't care what kind of day you've had, and I don't care how bad you failed God, if at the end of the day you say to God, my faith is still in what He did for me at the cross. That's it, Andy. The Holy Ghost marches in before a holy God. Look back here, everybody, and grabs you by the hand and holds it up and says, still the winner, still righteous, still holy, still not guilty. Hallelujah! Glory to God! Glory to God! Glory to God! Glory to God! I feel the Holy Ghost in that. My Lord, it's called grace! It's called grace! It's called grace! Hallelujah! And you seem excited this morning, Pastor. Well, this don't excite you. Let me call the ambulance for you. Because you don't know the Jesus I know. If this don't excite you. You don't know or understand the glory of what He did for you on that cross. You're good. On the basis of your faith alone. I don't care if you stubbed your toe against a car or that table in the middle of the night and let a horrific expletus fly. Yeah, that's not right. No, I'm not preaching a sin in religion. But you felt bad over that. But as long as your faith is still in Him, He won't cast you out. He's not a man. Thank God He's not a man. He's God. He's full of grace. So know this first point. You're established in grace on the basis of your faith before a holy God. That's what makes you holy. That's what makes you good. Because without Jesus, without faith being laid where it should be, none of us are good. Oh, you missed a great chance to say amen there. Man, Monique, I'm preaching to a holy bunch this morning. Excuse my facetiousness. You're good based on your faith, not on your performance. Because nobody can be good enough. That's why the Bible says there is none good. No, not one. But then I believe it was John who said, Jesus Christ, a man approved by God. And if you're in Him, we got God's approval. That's why this Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All is made new. You're good because of your faith. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Now watch this. Go on to verse 24 now. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with His hand. There's one thing that's sure as we walk with the Lord. We're going to fall sometimes. It's not a question of if you're going to fall. And by fall, let me explain what I mean. I mean, you're going to do something wrong. You're going to do something sinful that you ought not to do. I wish I could stand here and tell you it would never happen, and that faith in the cross, it doesn't have to happen. I'll put it that way. But yet with this imperfect faith we have, even though it's in the cross, sometimes we as humans, we're still going to fall. We're going to commit a sin. We're going to say or do something we ought not to do. But did you see that verse? The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. If he stumbles and falls, he will not be utterly cast down. Hallelujah. I've got to bring out now who's writing, who the Holy Spirit chose to pen these words that we're reading in the text this morning. It was, of course, King David, the greatest king that Israel would ever know. And you talk about a man who knew the highs and lows of life. It was King David. He was a man who loved God. God even declared King David, of course, a man after his own heart. And King David had some horrific failures in his life. He had people killed. King David, whom God said, this is a man after my own heart, was a murderer and an adulterer. Think of that. He sent Uriah to the front of the battle to have him killed so he could have his wife, a man after God's own heart. What does that tell you and I? It tells us how quick and how powerful and how complete the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus Christ is when we fail, because King David had his faith in that shed, in that coming Redeemer. And in spite of all the horrific failures in King David's life, and there were some big ones, God never told him, you're not mine. You don't belong to me anymore. I'm through with you. I'm preaching about the grace and mercy of God this morning, because when we go to God, I don't care how badly we have failed, when we go to Him and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I've blown it. Will you cleanse me? His answer is always, yes, I will. My Lord, that sends chill bumps all over me today, because I've had to do it so often. I've had to do it so often. And the Lord has been in a process over the past few months of really tenderizing my heart in the area of forgiveness. And I've needed it done, and I've still got a lot more I need done, but He's got me in the process of that. He's not utterly cast down. He's not going to quit on you as long as we'll repent. Though he stumble, this good man, he shall not utterly be cast down. I'm telling you, God is so quick to pick people up and cleanse them, whom the world and most of the church throws on the trash pile and says it's no good anymore. I love the scripture in Luke, and I forget the exact reference now, where Jesus said, or it was spoken of Jesus and his coming, a bruised reed he shall not break, and a smoking flax he shall not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. What does all that mean? In Bible times, the little shepherd boys would take the reeds that grew so plentiful around the Red Sea, which is actually the Reed Sea, Yam Suf, is what it was referred to as that Israel crossed. But the reeds that grew so plentiful, they would take them out of the water while they were yet stiff, and they would break them off and poke holes in them and make a little musical instrument out of them, a flute, if you will. But after so long of playing the flute, the reed would lose its rigidity and would become bruised and flimsy. And then they would just throw it away and get another reed. The Lord is saying, the bruised reed, I won't break and throw away. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible says that he come to heal the brokenhearted, Jesus did. And he said to set at liberty them that are bruised. When we sin, we all suffer that bruise and that pain of sin. But God doesn't quit on us, and God doesn't throw us away. And Jesus is still there. He don't leave. Oh, I'm here to tell you this morning, I don't care what kind of erroneous theology you might have sat under that have told you that after you sin and after you failed God, he quits on you and you never have no chance again. That is a lie from the pit of hell, because he's the God of the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, all the way up to innumerability, whatever that may be. Hallelujah. He won't quit as long as you'll repent. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. Why? Because the Lord upholdeth him with his right hand. There's the crux of what the Lord wanted me to bring to you today. First of all, you're good and you have standing because of your faith in him. Secondly, because of your faith in him, he is holding on to you. You didn't get that. You didn't get that. I need to preach it better. I said he's holding on to you. You may think you're holding on to him, but you belong to him. He's holding on to you. He's holding on to you. You say, give me scripture for that. I just gave it to you. The Lord upholdeth him with his right hand. Hallelujah! And he don't let go. He don't let go. You need to know that. You're good because of your faith in him, and he is not going to let go of you because of a failure or fall. If you'll keep on believing, if you'll repent, he's still right there with you, working with you, never quitting. He's not going to give up on you. He's a good God. He's a gracious God. He's a wonderful God. He's a forgiving Jesus. He's a cleansing Jesus. He's a powerful Jesus. And he alone is able to cleanse and make right. And he'll do it for anybody who calls upon him. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Though he stumble, he shall not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholdeth him with his right hand. I want you to think of that for a moment. The Lord is upholding you. He's holding on to you. And now as we start to close, your blessing's coming through. Your blessing is coming through. It's been coming through since the first day the calamity started in your life that you thought was going to destroy you. I love Romans 8:28. It's my favorite scripture in all the Word of God. I've quoted it nearly since the first moments I was saved. I'll never forget the first time I read Romans 8:28. I'd been saved about a week, and it had been probably since I was a kid in Sunday school, since it opened my Bible. And when I opened my Bible again to begin to read it as a new believer, the first scripture it fell to was Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. I've used that scripture to get me through some real dark days. And even when it didn't feel like it, that's when faith kicks in. That's when that defiant faith like John Paul Jones had, when he's looking out at three British ships that are far superior to his vessel, seemingly hopeless. I'm going to tell you, at times in the natural for you and I, when we look at the situations confronting us, they're almost always, they're going to be so far above our head, so far beyond our ability to deal with, so far beyond our ability to overcome, looking at it in the natural. Oh, but the greatest conjunction ever in history. But God, who is rich in mercy, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together in Christ Jesus and given us life. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Some of you need to raise your spiritual sword in the enemy's face today. And you might not be able to say, I have not yet begun to fight. But you can raise that spiritual sword in the name of Jesus and say, He has not yet begun to fight for me yet. Because He will fight for us. Hallelujah. The battle is the Lord's. Hallelujah. Don't let those things that seem like you'll never get through, you'll never get them solved. He's God. He can do it. Your blessing's coming through if you'll believe Him. You see, King David wrote this psalm. Many Bible scholars believe as he was on his deathbed. They would have to get his body growing old and weak and cold. They would have to get the young women of the kingdom. Not it wasn't a sexual dirty thing, but they would have to come lay with him to provide some type of warmth for him. That's what kind of state he was in when he penned this psalm. But what a life he had lived. He had seen so many victories that God had given him that he could have never fought or won on his own. You know, one sermon I preached one time, everybody knows the story of David and Goliath. You know, Goliath had four brothers, that were giants also. Why do you think when David went to the brook, he got 5 stones? He thought, I'm going to have to fight them all. But you know, one of those giants was still living and was coming after David at one point in his life. And David had to trust in one of his fellow army men who was brave enough to go and fight that giant. You see, no matter how great God uses any of us, there's always going to be a giant we can't kill. There's going to be something that's going to come that, in spite of all the victories God may have given us, that He's going to say, I'm going to do it different this time. I'm going to use somebody else to help you win the victory. I'll still give it to you. But David, after he had lived this tremendous life, and I love this, I want to point this out because it's such a picture of God's grace. When you're reading your Bible and you read about the life of King David, particularly in 1 and 2 Samuel, you read a lot about the victories of David, but clearly outlined in those books are David's failures. But when you read about David's life in 1 and 2 Chronicles, the failures aren't mentioned. Why is that? Because 1 and 2 Samuel were written from the standpoint and the viewpoint of man. That's how they were recorded. 1 and 2 Chronicles were recorded from the viewpoint of heaven. David's sin was covered in God's sight. All God saw was the good. Oh, Lord, that ought to bless you today. With our faith in Christ and His shed blood, when God looks at us, that's what He sees. He doesn't see the failures. Raise that spiritual sword today and know that your God is going to fight for you. Know that victory, if you keep your faith in Jesus Christ, victory cannot be taken from you. You already have it. It may just not have manifested in the natural yet, but it's coming. Don't be afraid to look the overwhelming circumstances in the eye. It's all right to be afraid of the circumstance, but don't be afraid to look it in the eye and say, my God is greater. And in Him, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. My God will fight for me. I don't know when He's going to show up on this battlefield. And I don't know who He might send to help me. But victory's coming. King David knew that. King David knew that the blessing of God was not based upon human performance. For if it had been, David would have never gotten all he got from the Lord. To be sure, when he failed, he had to repent, as we all do. But God immediately wiped that sin, no matter how horrific, He wiped it clean. Now, I want to close on this next verse, but it's so beautiful. As I said, King David, the greatest king in the natural Israel would ever know, is about to go on home to be with God. And one of his last words of advice to those around him and to us here today in this beautiful psalm, he says, I have been young And now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken. Notice what he says there. Hallelujah to the Lamb. I've not seen the righteous forsaken. And again, it reverts back to verse 23. Same concept. You might say, he can't bless me. I'm not righteous. You don't understand the blood of Jesus if you feel that way. None of us would get blessed if it was left up to our performance. Not a one of us. Now, oh, to be sure, I've seen people in church, and I'm positive. I know it's because of preachers have done this, because they've preached it this way. You know, oh, you blessed. And God does bless for our giving. Don't get me wrong, but oh, you're blessed because, brother so-and-so, you've given more tithes, and sometimes brother so-and-so is real quick to stand up and tell you how blessed he is because he gave tithes. But let me tell you something. I'll guarantee you brother so-and-so is failing God in about 10 other areas of his life. Probably more than that. A miserable failure. You get what I'm saying? I'm preaching the blood of Jesus this morning. I'm preaching how clean and how holy and how righteous it makes us. And that's what King David's words said here near the end of his life. I have been young and now I'm old. Yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken. What does that mean? That means in all of his life and all of his travels, everywhere there was a person who had their faith in God. King David said, I've never seen him pour nothing but blessing out on them ultimately. Even though they might have had for a time to go through a difficult trial, their blessing came through. Their blessing ultimately came through. Just as history is kind to those who take a defiant stand for righteousness. Listen carefully to what I'm saying as I'm about to close. All of heaven rejoices when one of God's children takes a stand on the truth of his word and says, I am a blood-washed child of the Most High King of heaven. And it looks bad right now in what I'm going through. It looks like I'm going to be overwhelmed and defeated. But I'm going to keep my faith in him. And I might fail sometimes along the way, but he's not going to fail me because he's going to hold on to me because I'm going to keep on believing him. Your blessing's coming through. Some of you are on the threshold of the biggest blessing you've ever known before. And the enemy is telling you to quit. He's telling you, look at all this trouble. Putting your faith in the cross has caused you. And God has merely been testing you. Your blessing's about to come through. I'm speaking to more than several this morning. I know it. The Holy Ghost is telling me. Your blessing's coming through. King David said it. I have been young and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed out begging bread. Hallelujah. Says he's provided everything they've ever needed. That's the witness of the one who trusts in God. We're going to close on verse 26. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Three things there. King David, through the Holy Spirit, leaves us with. He is ever merciful. My Lord, we need to know that. We need to be reminded of it. Because, Nellie, sometimes as I'm living down here, I forget about his mercy. I get focused on my performance, and I think, how could God ever bless me? How could he ever bless me? Oh, how powerful the blood of Jesus. With my faith in that, he's ever merciful toward me. He's ever merciful toward me. Let me preach it this way. It may be rather crude, but it'll get the point across. God blesses scoundrels. God blesses scoundrels, of which we all are, spiritually speaking. And he'll bless us anyway. Woo! What a God! What a God we serve! He's ever merciful! He's ever merciful! And it says, he lendeth. He lendeth. That's what we need to know. Everything we got in this life right now is just on loan from God. He loaned it to us. It's his. The car you drive, the home you live in, the clothes you're wearing. That's on loan from God. It's all his. This whole thing belongs to him. He's ever merciful. And he lendeth. Praise God. And what he gives. what he gives. We preached last week on a little bit about Job. Your blessing's coming through. More than several of you because you believed him. You've stood. You've stood in your faith. And you've said spiritually, like that great American patriot John Paul Jones did, you've sent the same message to the enemy coming against you. Lord, I'm going to stand and I'm going to believe you. I don't have the power in myself to win this battle, but I know you're a good God. I know you're merciful. I know you lend, and I know you're never going to forsake me. So all I'm going to do is just stand and wait on you and let the bombs fly, spiritually speaking. Let the taunts of the enemy come, because I know you're not going to fail me. My blessing is going to come through. And we preached it last week in Job. At the end of Job's life, he got double everything God took away from him when he was through with the trial. He had double everything that he had lost, and it was even greater than what he had had. That's the kind of God you serve, and he wants you to know today one simple thing. If you'll keep believing him, your blessing's coming through. 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 Hallelujah. If you'll believe him. I have been young and now I'm old, King David said. Yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed out begging bread. The Lord wants you to focus on the blessing that's coming through for you at the end of whatever you're going through right now, because your life is ordered by him. If your faith is in Jesus Christ, everything, not just some of it, and we forget this, I forget it, I have to remind myself, because when we're hit with a tough situation or something comes that's unexpected and it rocks us, our default in the human spirit is set to go to performance thinking. Well, what have I done to cause this? And to be sure, sometimes we do cause our own problems, but sometimes not. Things happen that are just out of our control that we don't understand. Lord, why is this happening? Here's what we need to know. Our life is ordered by him. He's holding us in his hand. You know, you hear our Baptist brothers and sisters say, they teach and preach this doctrine of unconditional eternal security, that once you're saved, you're always saved. That's hellish. It's not true. They say, didn't Jesus say, no one will pluck you out of my hand? Yes, Jesus said that. No one can pluck you out of his hand. We need to know that. But I'm going to tell you this. If you cease to keep your faith in Christ and what he did for you at the cross, you're in essence walking out of his hand of your own volition. He won't pluck you out, no way. That's what I'm saying. He will not let go of you. But if you choose to trust in something other than Christ and what he did for you at the cross, you're headed for real spiritual trouble then. The cross can't be overpreached, and I want you blessed. And the Lord told me today as I was preparing this, he said, you go tell them their blessing's coming through. Just keep believing me. And the blessing, the degree of the blessing is going to be directly equivalent to the heat of the trial that I've allowed him to go through. Now, that ought to make you shout. It's coming through. Keep believing. I have been young and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed out begging bread. Would you bow your heads? Would you stand to your feet? Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I don't feel I've preached this very well today. But Lord, that really don't matter if your Holy Spirit got the message across and took it to your people's hearts. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus now, I know why you had me preach this message. And I'm asking you to pour faith all over the sanctuary right now. That, Lord, your people could see in the heat, in the hurt of their trial, their blessings coming through. Their blessings coming through. Because you are a God who never forsakes, you're ever merciful and you lendeth. The blessing's coming through. The blessing's coming through. The blessing's coming through. Somebody once said that faith is the empty hand of the soul that reaches out to God but never comes back empty. Reach out and believe Him today. Reach out and believe Him today. And the Holy Spirit is telling me, believe Him big. Believe Him big. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us. That's telling us we've got Holy Ghost power in us, the power that framed this universe, dwells on the inside of you. And that power is able to do and perform exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. And one more time before we go to the altar call, the Holy Spirit is telling me to tell you this. The degree of the blessing that's about to break through is going to be directly equivalent to the heat of the trial. That means if your trial's been hot and heavy and hard, the blessing is going to be two times as sweet. And your blessing's coming through. My Lord, I wish I could get you to believe it today. But I can't. I've got to, only the Holy Spirit can do it. And that's why this word's been declared to you today. Because He wants you to know. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't look at the insurmountable odds. Don't look at what you think can never be fixed or made right. Because He's God. Nothing is impossible with Him. Will you believe Him right now? Right now where you stand. Like you never have before. Lay your faith on Him. And know that you're good because of that faith. And your life is being ordered by a God who has nothing but grace and mercy and blessing toward you, His child. All things are working together for your good right now. I know. I've been there. It may not feel that way. As your head's bowed and your eyes are closed, I want to share this with you. It's taken the Lord years to do a specific work in my life that is so needed to be done. And it was painful. Oh, my Lord, I thought I was going to die at times. But I'm telling you now, unashamedly, I'm on the blessing side of it now. And I'm not telling you something that I haven't experienced myself. The windows of heaven right now are open because you're His child. And He said He'll pour you out a blessing that you won't have room to receive. Glory to God. Glory to God. I feel this morning. I'm not trying to hype you. I feel this. And I know if you'll believe Him, what He'll do for you. He's no respecter of persons. Heavenly Father, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning, rain down fresh faith on your people. Let the Holy Spirit of God quicken the Word of God in their hearts. And let them know that victory is theirs today, and that God is never going to forsake them, and that we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus, who has already conquered all for us. Don't you feel that this morning? Let the victory that Jesus Christ has already appropriated for you sweep your soul today. Because you can't lose. I love fighting a battle where I know I'm going to win. And I don't even have to fight. We don't even have to fight this battle. We just got to show up on the battlefield. In faith believing, the battle is the Lord's. He'll fight it for us. He just wants us to believe Him. That's all He's asking of you right now. Believe Him and your blessing is going to come through. And it'll be one you won't have room to receive or contain. Because He's that kind of God. He's not angry at you in any capacity. You're His child. You're washed in the precious blood of His Son. Your blessing is coming through if you'll believe Him. Would you lift your hands in praise to God today? Lord Jesus, we thank You that You're a blesser. We thank You of the truth of Your Word that tells us we're blessed going in and we're blessed coming out. Based on our faith in You, Jesus, and what You did at Calvary, shedding Your precious blood so that we could have the blessing of God on our lives. I'm just letting the Holy Spirit wash over everyone right now. He's just telling me, let me work. Go deep in all of us today, Holy Ghost of God. And let us walk out of here with our shoulders squared spiritually and our swords held high, saying, the fight has not even begun yet, devil. And you're already defeated. You may think you've got me. But 2,000 years ago, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords bowed his head from the pinnacle of Calvary's Hill and cried, it is finished! It is finished! Glory to God! And with that phrase, he addressed every battle we were ever going to face and declared victory for all those who will believe. Oh, I feel the Holy Spirit in here in such a beautiful way. Just praise Him right now, church. Just let Him bless you. Let the Holy Spirit work on you. Let Him increase your faith. Let Him quicken and energize the Word of the Lord in your heart. Let Him give you fresh vision to see what's really going on. Because He'll do it. It doesn't matter how things look in the natural. If you can see in the Spirit, my blessing's coming through. My blessing's coming through. My blessing is coming through. Lord Jesus, we praise you today. We thank you for your patience with us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that when we act amiss in our trial, that we should know we can't lose. Forgive us, Lord Jesus. But Lord, today we renew our faith. We allow the Holy Spirit to renew our minds. Our blessings coming through. And it will be directly proportional to the degree of the trial. That blessing will be so much greater. The hotter that trial, the sweeter the blessing. And Lord, it's coming through. Take it to your people's hearts today. Take the words of King David to all of our hearts. I have been young. And now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed out begging bread. Our blessings coming through in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Give him a hand of praise today. Come on, praise the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Praise the one who has defeated all principality and power on our behalf. And we are victorious in Him. Hallelujah to the Lamb forever. Glory to God. Glory to God. I don't know about you. I didn't preach it that well, but I feel a lot better after that. Got that off my chest. Our blessing's coming through. Amen. Keep believing Him. Praise God. Mike, would you come dismiss us in prayer today? As he's coming, I want to remind you, please be with us on Wednesday night. We're studying about what it means to live by faith, and I believe it'll be a blessing to you if you can come out and be with us. So be safe out there. Have a great, blessed week in Jesus Christ, and I pray all week long when the enemy comes against you, like I know he's going to do at some point in time, you like John Paul Jones, will raise that spiritual sword and say, I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus, my Lord. My blessing's coming through. Praise God. Brother Mike.